Five?
Yes.
Five a quorum?
How many are on the
board?
There's
nine.
Right?
Nine.
It's nine. So I think five is a quorum.
Five is a quorum.
Yeah, five.
It's five a quorum.
So we got six.
Yeah, we've got yeah.
And we have six.
We good. That's why I knew I figured that. I said, well, really, I can't push, but then
I don't know.
Where's Bill now? Bill's like, he just done
four. Bill?
I know he's in and out all month, so I'm thinking
he's I thought he was back. He's not.
He's back, but he has like two other trips in October.
Oh, yeah.
I was expecting to see
him. Mark didn't say anything about not being here.
She said Mark's not coming.
Mark's not coming.
Did she tell Mark and Sheila are not coming?
Sheila said, but I don't know.
You
know,
I'm not sure.
But I knew Sheila was.
Probably out of town.
Mark is not going
to travel.
Yeah.
He told me he had three trips out.
Have you heard from Bill Sullivan?
Mental health. But five, we've got five.
Yeah, we've got
six right now.
Six. We've got enough people.
So as long as everybody else hangs around.
But I'm not hanging, too.
I know, you're not.
Well, we can lose one.
Somebody else goes in here.
We can lose one. Well, we have 35 minutes with Benita, so we better get going.
It's a different time.
We've got calling this meeting to order at 6:04.
Richards?
Here.
Bennett?
Here.
Branham?
Here.
Driscoll? Ferguson? Kilgore?
Here.
Rappaport?
Here.
Rollins Gay?
Here.
Sullivan?
Okay. I assume everybody has the agenda that's been put in front of you and emailed out earlier. Is there a motion to approve it?
So moved.
Okay. Kilgore and Bennett. Is there any discussion on the agenda? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That passes. Is there any public participation? We don't have a slip fill out, but Carol. Carol Ammons, County Board Member, District 5. And you saw this this evening.
I don't even have a pen.
Here.
You want
to? I'll just. All right.
You can fill it out when you're done, Carol.
Of course, Carol's worked with both.
Okay.
Both CU Citizens for Peace and Justice and worked with the, what was the form you guys have? Alternatives to incarceration.
We have two registrations then. Thank you. Firstly, I want to thank those who have served on this task force. When we first started discussing, I know Mike knows this is true, it wasn't easy to formulate this task force. And I understand why it wasn't easy, because talking about the issue of criminal justice is not an easy discussion. And certainly it is sometimes a little revealing, and we don't often want to look at some of the ugly parts of our decision-making policy in society. And so it kind of, you know, makes people uncomfortable. However, since the task force has been formed, and since we've had to, as a county board, talk about what to do in our criminal justice system, we've been able to expand the conversation with the help of the members of this task force to include some of the areas that are not talked about much and sometimes overlooked by policymakers. When we're talking about facilities, we often just ignore the people that are in them or the people that use them or some of the cost factors associated with them. And we don't see the entire full scope of what our decision making has on the people. And so I appreciate all of the effort, the meetings, the time that you've put in, the research that you've done to date to try to expand the conversation beyond where we initially started. I'm happy that the county board has moved this discussion to a needs analysis that will look at not just the facility issue. When we first started the conversation, it appeared to be a facilities issue. But I don't know of any criminal justice discussion that is a facilities-only issue in any place, not just in Champaign. I believe that every time you talk about criminal justice, you have to talk about the social impacts of the criminal justice system on the community for which it exists. And so we've been able to forge a conversation in a way that got us all to thinking about what is it that we really want to see and how do we improve what we currently have.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate your sacrifice to make these meetings, because I know how that is, to change your life, to make all these meetings. But I appreciate that. But I really want to impart to our chair, Mr. Richards, as well as I'll be important to our chair of the county board, as we transition to the next cycle. Something that happened in the commission on jury service has to happen on this commission too. This commission has to run parallel to our needs assessment that's going to be done by ILPP. The reason why I said that, I don't believe it's good to end the commission on such a time frame where I know it takes you a good 6 months to even wrap your head around what's actually happening in the criminal justice system here, and if that's just the beginning of the iceberg. To really get down into it, I would recommend to the chair that there's a recommendation made to continue the task force at least for another 6 months as we continue with ILPP paralleled. The reason why I say that is once ILPP gets in and start looking at the other statistical issues around the jail, meaning the facilities itself, what kind of services we really need in there, the numbers that I don't think any of us have really seen all of the numbers yet for the actual Champaign County's numbers for the jail, we'll be able to see a pattern that we need to change, and we'll also see some things that we currently have that can be expanded. Right now, we've not seen the entire picture. And without the full picture, any report that we get from the commission will be a limited report. It will be a limited report based on what you've been able to do with the time frame that you have. I believe that more can be done, and more should be done before the county board sees that picture and say, okay, I like to spend my money over here as opposed to over here. Or I'd like to do a smaller version over here and put more money into the resources that we know. I spoke to Jeff Ford. He comes into my building where I work. And I said, Jeff Ford, if it's something that we could do for you, what would it be? And he said, if I could expand the drug court, if I had the resources to expand the drug court, that's what I like to do. He said, I graduate about 20 people every time we have the graduation. He said, but that's just... that is so small. We just don't have the resources to expand drug court. When I talked to the public defender's office, I asked him the exact same question. I said, if there was something that the county board can do for you, what would it be? He said, if you can get me an investigator, that's what would help out. Because we understand that the only way that an attorney who's working on all these cases, and he's a public defender, or she's a public defender, she can't help all of these people, and the caseload is over 400. Right? So without an investigator to at least try to make impact on the cases that they really believe that they can work hard on, it's really cheating the system itself, and it's cheating the defendant. And so for the county board to not look at that is irresponsible. I think this commission has the opportunity to say, hey, county board, you should spend some of that public safety sales tax money over here, because we know our public defender's office is way over its legal responsibility, according to the Illinois Bar. So we have the opportunity, with your help, to expand what is being done currently at the county level. But this commission has to recommend it. You have to look at it. You have to say, where's the money going? We cannot spend our way into facilities into the next millennium and think that we've made a dent into this problem without providing resources for the people who have to use the system. And I think that's what is still lacking, and we don't have enough time right now under the current process to really get to the nitty-gritty of this problem. I think you can. I've seen lots of commissions. The Justice Policy Institute produces one, and I've seen the thoroughness of that commission's report. But I'd like to see one similar on the county level. I don't want to use national statistics, and I don't want to use figures from other cities. I really want us to really hone in on what Champaign County has so that the picture is clear when we go and say, okay, here's the budget cycle. Michael will still be there, and I'll be advocating from the other side. And I'll be saying, hey, this is what we can do with our budget. We had a very capable task force that said we need to look at these other areas in order for us to really make the impact we need to make. And so I encourage the committee, as well as the chair, to make the recommendation for an extension beyond the term that we're currently in. Because this term ends doesn't mean that this commission has to end. It can be reappointed by the will of the chair. Not this chair, but the chair of the county board. And I think we can make that happen.
I have a question for you because mm-hmm. I like your perspective as a county board member. Kind of a vision that we talked about at the last meeting, but we did not have a quorum, was to put together what we call either preliminary, probably, I personally now feel it should be potential recommendations instead of preliminary because we don't have the time to do all of the back and forth here that, mm-hmm. that we really need to do. But in any event, to get that out there for several reasons and get that at the next meeting, because I think those recommendations, Mark Driscoll's put together some, we've got other ones out there, James has got some and the like, that show a very strong foundation for continuing the task force's work. But the other thing is that those recommendations, we believe, are a predicate to a wise use of the consultant's time. Mm-hmm. We've got some recommendations that I believe we clearly have a consensus on, no matter what, but what we don't have is the number crunching. We know mm-hmm. we don't have pretrial services. Right. We need the consultant to do the number crunching. Yep. So, I guess what I'm asking is, do you think that would be, and the other reason we want to get them out as potential recommendations is that they are potential, but we want to get feedback from the public and from the stakeholders, criminal justice officials and others, so that they can be fine-tuned. Now, do you think that's a good structure, or do you think it's ill-advised, or would you tinker,
well, I think a progress report for the next committee would be good, including recommending a continuation of the task force mm-hmm. along the side, parallel to your needs analysis that's being done by ILPP. You all need the numbers from ILPP to really be able to make your recommendations make sense, right? Right now, I could pull off the Justice Policy Institute's recommendations, and they would make sense, and possibly we can do them here. But we don't know the rest of the numbers, right? And the only way we're going to get those is from the consultant. So when the consultant is doing its work, we've asked that consultant to work with this committee to reach out to you all as investigators of this issue, to include your work that you've done and to transfer information back and forth so that your reports can make sense when we get ready to do the presentation 6 months from now. Because he's going to come after he does his work and do the presentation. And so we would want this commission to also say, well, here's our recommendations alongside of that of IOPP. To do something for next month's CAL, is that what we're looking at? It would be good to give a progress note to the Committee of the Whole. The Committee of the Whole needs to know that not only are we interested in investigating this issue, but we have investigated to this point, and this is what we see so far. This is what we would say, you know, if we did this, if we did this, if we did that, that could help us. I know that's going to be half because we won't have the rest of the numbers. I don't believe that there's anybody on the county board right now that would object to a continuation. And I think the board members who are coming on would support a continuation. And that's just my preliminary view of the discussion. But right now, I think we've not had discussions about ending this task force at the county board level.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Right. Next, we have Bobby Trist.
Yeah, I'm getting to be a familiar face, I think. So first, do you want me to give my address and all that?
No, that's okay.
Okay. I live in Champaign. And first I want to thank this task force for all your hard work because I've showed up at a lot of these meetings and I know what a stress and strain it is, you know, after you've been at work all day to come out and sit for, well, one of the meetings was 4 hours, I believe. The one where the four organizations were presenting. At least one, okay. And then I want to, I'm going to sound like a little echo of Carol here, that I want to urgently urge you to request to or recommend for this task force to continue, because I think it's imperative that there is a non-administrative body. This is the Community Justice Task Force, and I think it's imperative that there's a structure alongside the county board and the the sheriff, the state's attorney, the usual suspects that turn up that represent the county at county board meetings, committees of the whole, and at this task force, that there be another voice. And you are the institutionalized at this point voice of the community, and I think that's so important that this continues and does not end, so that I would like to see this task force continue at least as long as ILPP. Is it ILPP? Did I get it right? I always forget if it's two P's or two L's. as long as they are doing their analysis. I think I've told you before, I'm a mental health professional. I'm not currently working in that field, but I am currently credentialed. My credentials are current. And I'm also the mother of an adoptive son who's now 52, but 20 years ago he was running afoul of the law here. He was able to make a life for himself by moving to Arizona, and I'm not so sure he could have done it here, because he at that point was, targeted. He was able to turn over a new leaf in Arizona. But what he really needed was a really good jobs program, a supervised jobs program. And I'm sure he's not alone, and that's even more essential for people who are coming out of the criminal justice system. It's so hard for people with a record to find employment. So I know we're not on that end of it, but there are just a lot of things. Mental health court needs to be expanded. Drug court needs to be expanded. So, I recommended this before, lowering bail so that poor people can make bail, or letting more people out on their own recognizance. So, but my main thing is please, please, please recommend that this commission task force be continued. Thank you.
Okay, we have Chris Evans.
Right. And to be repeating the same theme, I adhere to encourage you to stay with this. This represents a very historic time that we've never had a thorough vetting of our criminal justice system. I was around when we built the last jail in 1994, and there was no conversation whatsoever as to why we needed a jail. It was left to Sheriff Madigan to go on the radio and say, we need a new jail because there's going to be more crime, and he provided no statistical basis for that whatsoever, and it was just assumed that there would be more crime and that we indeed would need more jail without any kind of analysis. So this committee represents a very unique moment in Champaign County history to finally look at this criminal justice system and see what it's doing and why it's doing what it's doing. For instance, already you've made some inroads and really changed the dynamics of the conversation. Consider that Deb Busey got on the radio and said, we need to build a $22 million jail because there's more mentally ill people. And then the state's attorney said, well, we only prosecute the most dangerous of the dangerous. The mentally ill are the most dangerous, citing that case of the law professor down at the terminal. But you yourselves heard the mental health nurse come to your committee, thanks to your existence, and tell you that only 80% of the mentally ill in our county jail are in for low-level misdemeanors. And it's very important that we get that information out there and understand how many NGRIs we have, how many people are on medication, and how many people are diagnosed as mentally ill over in that county jail. Do we need a mental hospital or do we need more jail? I mean, that's the real, those kind of questions can come out in a thorough analysis. And we know, and I don't want to, tell people that know this better than I do, but the mental health system has totally been decimated the last 20 years. And there is, it used to be, if you did a crime in Champaign County, you were hauled over to Adolph Meyer in Decatur. Instead, we're now criminalizing the mentally ill and putting them over in the county jail. And the mental health nurse has written the county sheriff and told him in writing that it is not good to put the mentally ill in jail. They are victimized and they are subject to all kinds of, and it exasperates their symptoms. And to be isolating them in isolation cells is not good for their treatment plan either. So these kind of questions this committee can take on, and I congratulate you for beginning to open that conversation. We also have to understand the sense of scale this system has. We're talking about a system that prosecutes over 2,000 felonies, over 2,000 misdemeanors. We send 500 a year. We send over 500 people a year to the prison. We spend, if you add up all four police departments, we spend over $40 million a year on just criminal justice, running the four police departments, the jail and the courthouse, the public defender's office, and the state's attorney's office. And what I hear, and if you go to a docket call on the felony docket call days or the misdemeanor docket calls, you will be shocked at the racial disparity. It's just, it never fails to blow me away to see 80 to 70% of the docket call be African American, being prosecuted by an all-white criminal justice system. And we don't want to leave that kind of thing in an anecdotal state of, well, it's just us. We have to, you know, look at the numbers. We have to understand why that is happening. Probably the most consistent comment that I hear from defendants, inmates, and their family members is they need legal representation. And it ain't just an investigator. It is five more felony attorneys in that public defender's office. Mm-hmm. The state's attorney's office has 12 to 14 felony attorneys handling the 2,000 cases. The public defender's office handling the same number of cases, the same 2,000 a year on the felonies and the misdemeanors, is only working with five attorneys and no investigator. And I've seen year after year, beginning in 1994 with Rick Winkle and the county board, their first cut in the criminal justice system, their first place to make savings was in the public defender's office. And the families over and over, we heard a case this weekend of a public, you know, a man that was got arrested, and he was absolutely astounded at the lack of attention by the public defender's office to his case, such that he, when he was asked, do you want to go with the public defender, you qualify, he said, no, I don't want the public defender's office on my case. So what I hear, and it's so critical to have proper legal representation. This system, for decades, has been going, running on automatic, and it's just not been heard, and it's not been understood how vital that is. And the reason we have, you know, rogue officers and police brutality and prosecutorial misconduct is because there's no legal representation on the other side to catch that stuff. And so the cry that I hear from the community most often is, why can't I have an attorney to really handle my case? And you heard from Randy Rosenbaum that it's not unusual for them to only have talked to the defendants 10 minutes before a hearing. So that is a big need, and I hope that a systematic study can reveal that the need for that and be able to present that in a logical manner. But again, I really want to thank you for your patience and your volunteering for this committee. It's so critical, and we've just never had it. The numbers are all over the place. I've looked at them. They differ between the media and the actual reports on the criminal justice sites on the websites, that such that I don't really feel comfortable quoting them in public because I'm not sure if they're accurate. So, for instance, last month, the News Gazette reported there were about 400 DUIs. Well, in the RFP, the state's attorney reported they had 718 DUIs. So which number is correct? So I'd like to, you know, hopefully a systematic study along with ILPP will give us an accuracy of what's going on in this system. Also, what's kind of critical, too, is that you consider this, that if you were to quit in November, we would be back in the same boat that we were in that started this committee before February, and that is that ILPP will be doing the study of the criminal justice system, being advised by those same criminal justice professionals who have all gone on record as wanting to build and expand the county jail for $22 million. Every one of the jail project planning team, and I've traced it down and looked at all the media sources, have gone on record, except Joe Gordon and Lieutenant Cravens, have gone on record to say that they want an expansion, and they've been doing this kind of media campaign since 2005 to expand that county jail. If you guys quit, then it's their voices that are going to be advising ILPP, and we're back in the same boat again. So I think it's critical that you stay with this. If you need more help, I would ask the chair to expand the committee into more membership. I don't offer my services because I clearly have a bias, but to be honest, because we need, you know, some level-headed folks. But I'd really like to see, you know, you be able to expand your membership. Since Sheila Ferguson did drop out, maybe there is room for a few more people to look at this and to really try to get a handle on this. And I will tell you that in our community, the community that I deal with, the poor and the homeless and the minority community, the criminal justice system is on their radar screen, and they are very upset with it. And such that, you know, Donnell Clemens is considered a hero, and I hear all kinds of outrageous ideas of retaliation, and so far we have not had it, but we're reaching that boiling point where there's a lot of frustration with this criminal justice system, and maybe this committee, with some rational analysis, can begin to give us, you know, a way to systematically improve the system. Thanks a lot for your time.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks everyone for public participation tonight. Public participation is now closed. We have the minutes from the last formal meeting, September 24th. Does anybody have any corrections they need to make on that or anything they want to note on that? Is there a motion to approve those minutes? Or do we need a minute to read them? Okay, we have Kilgore and Bennett on the motion. Everybody ready to vote? Okay. All in favor of passing the minutes as written, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say aye. Okay, the minutes passes as written. Okay, on to our agenda. We have drug court information. I'll first say, Scott, have you talked with Judge Ford?
I have talked to Judge Ford. He's indicated a willingness to come to our committee. He, of course, as I indicated in my, he personally started the drug court program in, I believe, 1999, and then has used the same kind of model to start the new mental health court, and this is, I think, would have a very useful voice for the court, for the committee to listen to. The one issue was, obviously he's a busy guy, he's a judge and has all the other issues that come along with it, but he'd be willing to come down provided we give him enough notice.
Yeah.
And the problem is, what do we want him for? And so that was kind of the issue he asked me. Well, is it, you want my ideas, do you want to present something to me, what is, so that was one of the things before we invited him to an official meeting, and I wanted to kind of get the committee's ideas about what would his presence be here for? And a lot of our early meetings, we've heard presentations from different people, and if that's what it was, I could prepare him for that and tell him what we'd like. Or if it's something that we want to present something to him for his feedback, I'd like to give him kind of a idea about that too. So any thoughts on that?
I have some. The two things that I would like to happen if Judge Ford comes here. One is, I'd like to simply ask him the same question that, the question I would want to know is, given the way the drug court operates, my understanding is there's a relatively small number of people who make use of it who compared to the total number of possible people.
Yes.
that would be a small number. So, first question, what would you need in order to be able to increase it by a lot so that it was adequate to, maybe it goes beyond his own capacities, but what resources would enable us to expand the drug court significantly, not just by, you know, a few people? So that's one issue. And I'd be curious as to what his view of that is. And there may be ways to operate such services or that don't necessarily operate exactly the same way he's operating now individually. But it would be nice to have a discussion about that. The second thing I'd like to do is I would like us to ask him to react to the idea that we have talked about among ourselves, that we think that the criminal justice system, we should take the words criminal justice system seriously and not just think about it as a bunch of individual programs, that there's a mental health thing here and there's a prosecutor there and there's a, but that we want to think about it as a system, and we think that one way to facilitate that might be to create some kind of coordinating council. We've bandied about different terms for what that is, but the idea is pretty clear that we don't think the system's working well, in part because it's too cut up. So we'd like to get, I'd like to float the idea to a judge and hear, well, what does he think about that? Because that's part of the ways we've talked about it would involve someone like him being a part of it. And is that the only, we could say that all we want, but if the people who would be called upon to participate in such a group on a regular basis think it's infeasible or they don't want to do it, that's very different than if they think, yeah, it's a good idea. And in fact, I'd promote the idea among other people. So
criminal justice coordinating council or coordinating.
Yeah, so that's my two things I'd like to have is hear what resources he wants and what he thinks about that idea.
So you'd like both him to a presentation from him and to make a presentation on some of our ideas?
It's less a presentation than I'm thinking. I mean, I think it's pretty straightforward to just say, I would just like to pose to him the question, less him presenting what he's doing. I think we have a fair idea of what the drug court is, but more, what does he need to make it more accessible to more people? Yeah. What do we need to expand the numbers of people who could be served by such a program?
Well, I'll answer that for you now. Money.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay. I think if it's money, then we need to know how much, and what are we talking about?
But from a prosecutor's perspective, and this is what I think it is a question I'd like to kind of hear from the judge on, because it's not just a matter of funding. Not every criminal defendant can get into drug court because we don't want dealers in there. You can't come in if there's violent felonies. There's a lot of parameters on that.
Right.
And so, and there's a lot of issues. And it's also attitude. If someone, they have to be willing to get into a program, and some people aren't to the point in their addiction where they're, I don't need to tell a lot of people in this room this, that they would be able to succeed in that program. And what happens in the drug court program, if you're not ready to succeed, it is instant accountability, instant sanctions, and you usually end up with a much worse result because you've wasted, frankly, the resources of it. So it would be interesting, I think, to hear from someone who's spent 13 years plus seeing these people in and out on the drug court program to say, is it simply a matter of more money? Yes, but what is there something else we can do, even like a drug court light, where it's, you know, maybe not all the requirements of it, but you're almost... So, yeah, I think it would be interesting to see what his perspective would be a decade plus in to the process.
James,
yeah,
wanted to be right.
I think just to add a little bit, I would like to hear him talk about what his opinions about, you know, other options besides the drug court and how he thinks those might fit in with the drug court. I mean, because there's a lot of contestation about drug courts because they are, you know, so restrictive and sometimes quite punitive, and there may be other alternatives. But also, if we're going to look at other alternatives, we want it to fit in with what he's doing, so we're not you know, butting heads with him.
Other states have done, you know, juvenile drug courts and things like that. I mean, which obviously have very different requirements. I mean, so there's a lot of taking a model and making it toward other things. I think that would be interesting too.
And then, because then you don't see them in the adult drug court because you've addressed them issues. Before it happens. I agree.
So, and then the second piece would just be in terms of, to add on what Julian was saying about this coordinating council, and I think maybe this is a discussion that we have to have. Yeah. But if he thinks it's useful, what sort of powers would he want a body like that to have, and who would it be accountable to? Because we haven't talked about this council. Obviously, it's something that's on the table, and that Lynn has put down on paper in quite a lot of detail, but we haven't really discussed how it might work. So I think just if he thinks it could be feasible to get ideas from him about how he thinks it should structurally operate, who it should be accountable to, and whether it should be all volunteers, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that would be precise. I think that this is important to me, that what you're saying now. I think we can propose a model that has absolutely zero local support or enthusiasm. I think it's strategically important for us. I believe we can promote the general idea and ask people, not just, this would just be one person to ask, but I think it's an important one, what they're thinking about it, what it would look like, what the general idea would look like from their point of view. I mean, so the idea of coordinating the things that go on in the system seems to be, it seems to me it's very difficult to argue that that's a good idea. What might be at issue is how. And so I guess it's one thing to say, for this group, to say, well, we think it should be done this way. And it's another thing to say, we think it ought to be done, but we want to hear other people's ideas about how to do it. And I think it's especially important to get the ideas of the people who would be implicated as important parts of it. So, yeah, I think I'm just agreeing with what you said now.
That's good. It gives me an idea. He just kind of said, well, what do I have to talk about? And that's really what I wanted to bring to you guys.
Did you all get my email? Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mary.
Okay. Anybody else have anything for Scott to pass on?
Well, I actually would like to get some feedback from them on this. Talk about the scope of the drug court. It sounds like there is an automatic exemption for dealers. My understanding is those with the most serious drug problems often deal to support their habit. Now, are you talking about them? Because if we're skimming, we're getting the people. I mean, so, and many drug courts will include dealers because they'll include people that weren't arrested for drug crime. They were arrested for burglary, which they committed because they're trying to scrape up some money.
And I believe, and we can ask Judge Ford how Champaign County does it. I know that. Generally, there's an exception for people that deal for their own habit,
right.
But they make a distinction in that and people that, because obviously you get someone who's a major dealer
Right, but I want to delve deeper into that dealer issue because the reality is that people with a deep-seated problem, that's what they're doing to support their addiction.
Okay. Well, I think Scott, are dealers kept out by Illinois statute, or is this a rule that courts? You're a setup for Champaign County drug court.
I believe, that's how most drug courts are set up because you can imagine, and it happens from time to time, somebody who gets into, you can lose the entire program if you have somebody with those kind of vulnerable people and someone is deals to a large degree. I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a big difference between people that are, using that for their own, just for their own habits. I don't know, and we can ask Judge Ford how they do it here. In McLean County, it was just one of the parameters we set up, but I believe it's, I'm not sure if it is statutory before I say that, I should look it up.
Well, my view about this is that it would be not likely that we would want to or even be able to talk Judge Ford into doing something that he wasn't comfortable doing, and partly what we need to understand is what the limits are on what he does do so that we can understand what's absent from the system. So you said just in passing, well, maybe there needs to be drug court light or another. But the implication of what you were saying to me is not everybody needs exactly the same thing.
Sure.
So if we understand, I'm a little worried, frankly, about all of these services that we've listed, not just drug court, but all the mental health services and so on. I'm a little worried that if we put those out there, it looks like, oh, we've got a great system with all
solution
this stuff.
For everything.
What are we, you know, what we don't have to do anything more.
Yeah.
But the fact is that many of those services are not targeted for the people who actually end up in the jail and come out of the jail. And many of those services are not accessible either because the people there don't see them as relevant to themselves or because they don't fit to some existing model. So part of what we need to do is make it clear that even though we do have all these services, they're not necessarily tailored or accessible to the population of people we're concerned about.
This, the idea too of evidence-based sentencing and what, you know, for domestic, whether it be DUIs or addiction or domestic or sex offenders, there's a lot of things that, you're right, one size doesn't fit all,
right.
And one need may not be the same, and you know, how we can deal with that, I think that's a good idea. So, okay. So we can talk about that too.
Okay. And I'll just note, we did ask for the courts to send somebody tonight, and they declined, but provided this report. On approval of the preliminary report, I don't know from our exchanges the last couple of weeks if we're pretty close or if we're pretty far away on that. If anybody who wrote a section can bring up if they got any real feedback on that, none of it was sent through me. Let's see, everybody here has something they've been working on. James.
Yeah, I think I'd like to back up and have a little bit bigger process discussion in terms of, you know, where, how much of a report we're ready to write I don't think we've really quite discussed this, like, you know, from what's the journey from the start to putting together this report and what's necessary. For me, I mean, I think we have a lot of, you know, really good things that have been put down on paper, and we've had a lot of good discussion, but we haven't actually come to a consensus around specific recommendations on specific issues.
This is very true.
I don't think you can write a report until you know what you agree on that's going to be in the report. So although a lot of the documents prefigure a lot of that, I think we have to back up and talk about the specific areas that are covered in the reports, from, you know, from pretrial services, mental health, substance abuse, the downtown jail, you know, race, the whole spectrum of issues, and kind of come to some, go through, if we have things, say, on mental health, so we go through those, we pick, you know, we kind of consolidate out of that what we think is the stuff that we can agree on, and that becomes our recommendations on mental health. Then we move to the next area, and then we also need some things that kind of tie a sort of systemic analysis together. And then I think at the end of that, we need to talk about this kind of, how does the work of the task force get carried on, which is where this council piece comes in. So I'm just, you know, I think we could submit to the county board a progress report of what we've done, because we've done a lot. I mean, we've had a lot of inputs from a lot of different people on a lot of different areas, and I think we've also written quite a bit of material from within our own membership, but it's not at a stage where I think we can quickly slap it together into a report that's going to really be the voice of the task force. That, I mean, I think the task force members individually need to be able to say, you know, I support that, I agree that, I agree with that, and I understand why it's there. And I don't think we're at that point. So we can target the areas we want to make recommendations in. We may get a couple. We may be able to agree on a couple of, you know, more focused recommendations this evening. But I don't think we're going to get to a point where we're going to hand what looks like a draft report with, you know, with recommendations that are very specific. And I don't think we should rush to do that, because we were set up to run sort of parallel to the needs assessment process anyway, and that's a 25-week process now, so, or maybe it's 24 now, but I don't think we need to try to rush to, you know, get into a tighter time frame, and actually interacting with the ILPP, I'm sure, will also help us sharpen some of what we have to put in.
Well, I would say yes and no. First of all, let me note, on we'll be discussing in other business asking the county board to extend this. The chair did not want to simply have the county board vote when this is going to be the business of the next county board, but he would like feedback from the board on extending, And individually, we'd like to hear who wants to continue. I know we have at least a couple people who will not be able to continue. But I would like to think anybody who wants to continue will, that will be fine. And I also think, I'm with Carol, that assuming we say we think that this needs to continue, the county board will agree when that's brought before them. But it's, I think it makes it a little bit harder if we don't have anything on the 13th for us to justify that we should be extended. I would like to see us find a way to kind of guide this conversation and get out in front of the conversation with the ILPP with some of the things we've looked at. Like, I don't think anybody wants this to be a final report on the 13th, but I think we need to make sure we have something. It doesn't have to be in depth, but we definitely need to have something. I really think we can do a lot of good steering the conversation on the 13th. Now we can discuss how much consensus we have on any of these points, any of the recommendations, any of the reports, and that's one of the things I think we should do this evening. I think everybody here has a session. Talk through those, see where we are. I think we probably need at least one more meeting before the 13th anyway. And if we want to, that's fine, or more. So however we think we can get to the point where we're happy with something, we think it's productive to get before the county board. But I definitely think we need something. But with you saying there's no way we're going to have a final report ready, you know, as people have been saying, I think we strengthen our case to keep going and keep building and being on a parallel track, and that we can definitely keep doing that. And as people have said, I have not heard anybody have any taking issue with this or wanting to shut this commission down. So I think that we'll be able to do that.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't submit a report. I just don't want us to submit something that's kind of beyond what we've agreed upon. Even if we write a progress, I mean, normally in an interim sort of situation, you would write a progress report saying, this is the work we've done so far, this is where we intend to go, this is kind of what we've agreed upon. I think we can do that.
And I think the sections that we have on programs already in place are going to be, just let me reiterate, very valuable for the board, because we have had a lot of success getting stakeholders to come in here who I haven't been able to drag before the county board. And so you would be surprised, but don't assume that some of these, that say the report on current programs or Mark Benita and Sheila's great report on those services. Now we do have to make sure that people don't look at that and think, hey, we're doing great. But just showing people what we have and helping to contextualize that, I think is going to be a big value to the county board too as they're going into this. So, and on those sections, I think are largely ready. Maybe we discuss if we want to flesh out Scott's report more. Mark's, I don't know what we would have to add. But those, I think, would pretty much be ready to go. As far as recommendations or anything else, we'll have to discuss what we want to do. And since we want to make the case for continuing, assuming that we're successful, we don't need to do that now anyway. Any other comments, or should we say talk about some of the sections that we've gotten in the last couple of weeks? Lynn?
Well, before we get into the details, I agree with you, and this is what we talked about last week, that there are multiple reasons why it's important to put together what we call a preliminary, whatever we want to call it. Maybe report is not the word, but for the reasons that you had mentioned, and also to help contour what the consultant does. I hear some discomfort about that. Another alternative is we just take the different work products that we have right here, and then they are reports to the task force. So I'm reporting the task force these preliminary recommendations. James has got his, Mark's got his. I don't prefer that. I think that we lose some of our potential to affect the dialogue here, and particularly the statistics gathering. As long as we call things, I think potential means just that. It means we as a task force have not decided for example, about a coordinating council, although I should tell you, the research says we can't do what we want to do here without something like that. That's the research, period. Joan Peters Zilia, it can't be done. But the details, who should be the people on it, floating out some positions and people say, actually, I think we should have 10 members of the public, and we may have somebody else coming in, actually, we shouldn't have these and that. But getting some specifics out there, because to get meaningful input from the stakeholders, it won't be meaningful without some specifics. The third alternative, besides individual reports stapled together or a preliminary report, is a preliminary on the things that we say we absolutely agree on. We agree there's pretrial services. We agree there needs to be integrated mental health programming, et cetera, et cetera. We agree there needs to be more expansive community sanctions. And then several areas where we just don't know yet because we haven't had time to flesh it out, those we say are future matters for consideration by the task force and the community. I suggest those be limited. I understand restorative justice. We really haven't had a chance to talk about. I really believe that's the foundation for reentry, because in some ways it takes away from the notion of reentry. They've never left. The people are part of our community. But we really haven't fleshed that out. So I really feel it needs to be there. I wish in some ways we could embrace that and put it as potential. Maybe with one more meeting we can. There's also one more thing. There's some specifics in the issue on race that I thought we'd agreed we really wanted to profile the issue. Let's give them some gripping statistics, and the jaywalking ones are one. Say we realize it's beyond the scope of this task force, but we think another body needs to look at this, and mention, and then put your specifics in the back for consideration some of those specifics. But I think most of this here, now I feel it would be the time to go through. I encourage us to actually be open-minded and think, keep in mind its potential. Do we feel comfortable with, you know, whatever what Mark, Sheila, and Benita have said, putting that as the potential foundation for a proposal dealing with integrated, high-quality, systemic programming in these areas to get it out there. And I believe, again, we can do the brunt of this and a few things in the back. But that's my view. Otherwise, we can take our individual reports and just slap them together. I think that strategically is going to make it less likely we effectuate systemic reform.
Okay. Can you reiterate for us what you think should be in the report?
Let me just say, if I had my druthers, I'm going to start with what I've got here. I would have put in under...
Can I ask you to do something with that, Lynn, if I may? Can I ask you to...
Sure, walk through it, or...
I don't think that the form that it's in is going to work. What I'd really like to hear is something more on the order of what you were just saying to be in the report, which is there are certain key elements that are suggested, and just say them in English. Don't say them in such a formalized fashion, because I'm not prepared to vote or agree to the way that it's formulated. There are many, many great ideas, but I'd like them to be more straightforward and in a way that just somebody could quickly look and say, oh, they think this and that, without all the underlying, I don't know what to call it, you know, legal justification.
Yeah. So
it's too soon for
that. But to answer your question, I feel that what Mark and Sheila and Benita have written up is potential recommendation number four. That deals with treatment programs, reentry planning, making them available, et cetera. And I feel that what James has written up bears on the recommendation with the special task force that will look at race-based issues. Now, so those, and we talked about Julian putting his main principal point about the systemic approach to this in the introduction. So I guess I'd have to say that would have been what I had recommended. Now, seeing James's comment about that we really haven't fleshed out restorative justice. He's absolutely right. We haven't. So if I were to walk through these and say, what do I think we absolutely as a group, either whether today alone or with one more meeting, should be able to tender forward with a, not just the black letter, but with enough specifics to show we've done homework, to show that these are research-based. I don't want to just put the black letter there, Julian. I want these to have credence, and that's why these details are in here. So I took away the footnotes, although, like,
well, it depends on who you're writing to.
What you circulated has endnotes. But I personally feel the the coordinating council should go forward as a potential recommendation. I think pretrial services should. I think community-based sanctioning options, I think that is huge. We keep talking about services, but I think it's important that we understand from the perspective of the judges, right now they don't have sentencing options. We can talk about mental health programming till the end of the day, but unless we give them some more sentencing options besides incarceration, that jail is going to be expanded. So I think recommendation three, the integrated programming, no, I'm sorry, restorative justice could be just submitted as something that at the end we could refer to recommendations that haven't been processed by the task force yet, and we could get the ideas, you know, appended at the back. So we would, as a group, wouldn't have to put that forward yet. And I think things like training, public education, evaluation, I don't think those are controversial. And I had thought, finally, we had all agreed that there should be a separate group looking at race-based issues. I see no reason why we can't say that now. And finally, I do think it's very important that we identify priority tasks for the consultant, and we do that in writing. I think that'll have a big impact on the consultant and ultimately affect the end product here and where we go. So I guess I'm saying I see it all here. Restorative justice, I feel uncomfortable not putting it out there because I think it's so important. But on the other hand, we haven't talked about it at all.
Okay.
I mean, I think we're moving in the same direction here. I mean, I'm happy to say, you know, we think restorative justice is something we need to, you know, we need to explore. Maybe we can manage to have a discussion about it before then and get to a consensus. I don't know. I mean, I think that's a big issue, and we should probably have a little bit deeper understanding of it. It's not like, it's not quite the same, you know, as having an electronic home monitoring thing. It involves quite a big philosophical shift. And in actual fact, I think it would be something that would underpin the entire, you know, a report that we're going to write. If we were to adopt that, it means that basically we're asking the, you know, the county to have a complete shift in its philosophy in terms of how it implements criminal justice. So that's a big piece. That's why I think. And that's why I targeted that. But I just think that if we take the areas that you've spelled out and that other people have spelled out, and I think if we take away the level of detail that you have in your recommendations at the moment and target those as areas, I'm comfortable with that. But I don't, but when we get down to levels of detail, like, you know, like on this council where we're targeting, saying who's going to be on it and all that sort of thing, I don't feel comfortable putting that out there without having a bigger discussion of it. I agree, I don't want to just, you know, take all the stuff together and get a stapler and hand it in a big binder. I think it needs some structure. I also think it needs an introductory page which says what we've been doing. You know, which actually says, you know, we've had people. I mean, as Mike has pointed out, I mean, we've had a lot of different stakeholders come here and make inputs. I mean, I think that needs to be recorded, because I think if we put that down for the county board, I mean, they're going to see that, you know, that we have been busy. You know, we have been doing things, and I think that's a
is it possible for someone? I don't know what staff is like here. I know we're not staffed, except in a small way. Can we get someone to go through and just list all the people we have heard from, all the organizations we have heard from, or do we have them in some?
I can certainly put that together. And one of the concurrent things we may want to do is, you know, just no assumptions that things we know the county board knows, no assumptions that they've been going online and reading these our reports so far. our minutes, one of the things I can do is put together a prospectus on that and also make sure to send out to my colleagues or have Deb or Pius send out links to all the minutes with maybe a little summary underneath so they know what they're clicking on. So at least they do know what we've been doing and have the chance to read that.
That would be great.
Our website is not always the easiest to use. It's quite possible even if some of the colleagues who might be interested in this wouldn't have even known where to find the task force minutes. And so that's definitely something we can do. Or in that prospectus also could be the introduction or part of the introduction.
And our progress reports.
Yeah.
I think the progress report we're hoping to give would very easily then be adapted into the introduction of the panel. Here's what we're doing. Here's what we've done so far. And then that could be the inter- But I mean, I think that would be the majority of the progress report we need to give to the county board just to get the extension.
How about this as a possibility? How about the introduction saying, this is all we've done, and also mention the systemic approach. Then we have potential recommendation. We say why we're putting them out there, because we want to provide a foundation for the consultant. We want to, as our next step in our process, is get feedback from stakeholders and the public. Then at the back, we have background notes for each recommendation, and basically the things that Mark has written, those would be background notes for that recommendation on reentry programming substance abuse. What I wrote on the coordinating council would be background notes. We aren't propounding it. We aren't saying there should be a defense attorney, et cetera. But the facts are there so it can start informing the public dialogue and the feedback from the stakeholders. That way there doesn't have to be buy-in. If you say we need 5 members of the public, I can't remember how many I've got here instead of 3,
right.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And because some of those details, like you said, although again, I feel comfortable with the way it is because everything's potential. But if we don't have a comfort level, then we can just have that and then background notes.
Well, I'm happy enough with what you just said. But I just want to be clear that what I think it's important for us to recognize that we ought to explicitly recognize that what we need is a genuine community dialogue about how to do these things.
Well, that's what we're saying. That's why we're calling
it. So I know that maybe it's just semantic, but I don't think so. I think if it's too already worked out in great detail, I think it's too far ahead of the game. So I think that the way you just described it is fine with me to have it as here's examples of how it might work. That's different than here's what our recommendation is. But what we could be recommending is, so to me it's different to say we understand that there's a system here and we need to recommend some formal ways for the system to be better coordinated. Here's an example, see Appendix X of how that could happen. That's fine, but that's not what we're recommending at the moment. What we think is the important key actors in the system, including community people and probably including some offenders or ex-offenders.
Formerly incarcerated people. Thank you.
Need to be involved in figuring out how to make it work. I think it's a process. I can't understand how we're going to hope to change a system if we don't have a collaborative sense of how that happens. So I'm trying to avoid. I don't think there's any great benefit in me being authoritative, because all that does is continue the same way of people who are authoritative telling other people what to do. I think we're better off saying what we want to be is collaborative. And so we're going to be collaborative right from the beginning. We're not going to act the very way that we're critiquing. And so I understand that that's not, you don't intend what I'm saying. I just think that it's easy for us to fall into that, into communicating in that fashion. So I would like to see our report or our preliminary report be, I guess, a softer version of what we've been talking about. But, so I don't know if that makes sense to anybody but me, but that's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, I'm can get on board with what both of you are saying. I mean, I think the idea of putting these things in as background notes is really good, and I think it satisfies. I'm hoping that it will satisfy. I mean, your desire to get as much information out there as possible and kind of stimulate the dialogue and get people thinking. But at the same time, I think probably Julian and I are a little bit more worried about a process issue to make sure that things don't get too far ahead of where our consensus is. Because I don't want to have somebody from the community or someone from the county board come up to me and say, why are you supporting, quintupling the size of the drug court? And I don't have an answer because we didn't really discuss it, but it's been written about in a report in my name. And I just think, I know it's difficult because we have such a limited amount of time here, but I think we have to kind of keep, what we put out there somewhere close to what we've kind of been able to sort of collectively, absorb and consider here.
I also think in terms of mental health, we have a... I think it would be possible, if we're not careful, to have a report that lists all these mental health services, lead to the obvious conclusion that that's great, everything's so good, what do we need more for? Or what is it that you want? What more could we be doing? And I think so. I think it has to be interpreted. It has to be understood that many of these mental health services are not really developed for the specific population that we're talking about. They're general mental health services or mental health services that apply to lots and lots of people. And the people in the mental health system, and this is not, I am not a mental health service provider, but people who are in an awkward position in which they obviously want to advocate for the mental health services they do provide, and they should, but there's also holes in what that system provides that need to be pointed out. And the only way you can do that is if you view it as a system and if you focus on who the target population that we're concerned are. So I just don't want us to inadvertently seem as if we're saying everything's great in mental health services for people who are at risk or are in the jail population, because I don't think it's true. I don't think everything is great for them.
Well, we can spell out in the intro or their perspectives if we need to, more clearly than that report, what the problems were. Because as I've mentioned, Sheila and I spent most of the last year looking at ways to try to expand mental health funding, including a referendum, because most of the agencies in Champaign County that work through the Mental Health Board have had their state and local funding cut very badly. It's not like they had a lot of extra before. It had just been the last few years that the state had even tried to be adequate on those issues. And because we are talking local agencies, Sheila at Center for Women Transition and the other groups I was working with, I can guarantee you can come up with numbers. They can come up with positions cut, what they can't do that they'd like to do, even that they were doing 4 years ago, let alone things they would like to do. And the same thing, we can certainly put in the intro or a prospectus for drug court or anything else. We've got drug court. If we had grant or local funding, we would love to do more with this or something else. Just Carol talked about the investigator. This is another education issue for the county board. When I had a motion last year to fund an investigator and a social worker for the state's attorney's office, it didn't get very far. It's not like it lost 15 to 12. I think I got 5 or 6 votes. It just kind of died. It was not a priority of the county board. And I just don't know how it's not, because the public defender will tell you there's a lot that he'd like to be doing that he can't. So, yeah, these are, we can put that in the beginning, or certainly when this comes up, we can assure people that even the people doing these things would like to be doing a lot more.
I would definitely like to see the things that you just said be a part of this report.
Well, we can absolutely make that part of the intro or make it part of the section on programs, depending on what we do. And I will continue to say so. Okay. what else have we got?
I think one of the questions we're now faced with is how to proceed with this, how to get to where... I'm not exactly sure what the best process would be to do it. I'm almost thinking that one person might try to write it and then circulate it and get other people to add to it so that it's one document.
Okay.
And that different, you know, it will be an inadequate, whoever writes the beginning, the first draft of it, it will be inadequate. There'll be holes in it. There'll be things forgotten and so on. And then maybe to pass it to the next, maybe in some sequential way, you know, one person at a time, passing it on. I don't know how to make this work. So if anybody else has an idea about how to operationalize what we need to do, I'd be open to it.
Well, I mean, it seems, okay, I mean, I think we have, there's sort of like, we're talking sort of about like three sections of this. We're talking about some kind of an intro which sort of outlines what we've done and makes some hints.
And the current state of where we are with the criminal justice system, I think, should be in there too.
Yeah, why we got, and the,
right.
Which is why we got here. I mean, why we formed this task force.
Right.
Yeah. So our sort of origins and then kind of details, the work that we've accomplished without necessarily going into the recommendations and so forth. And then there's a second section which I think kind of begins to hint at the areas that we... at some areas where we have recommendations or we're close to recommendations and areas of potential exploration like that. And then the third section is what Lynn called background notes. So it seems to me that we could actually divide the first two sections. I mean, somebody could do the first section and somebody else could do the second section, and then the third section is probably more a collating job, and then maybe having some kind of one-page intro to say what these are and just describe them so we're not just tacking on a bunch of documents there that don't seem to make any sense. So that's kind of, but I mean, that seems to me we could actually put that into, that three different people could take that on board if we want to divide it up that way. But the first two would need, I think the first two would need some circulation. I don't think, given the time frames, I don't think doing it one by one it probably needs to just shoot out to everybody and then get the feedback and
I mean, I don't know what we're allowed to do.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. So,
well, it would be a lot easier if we didn't have to deal with
open
meetings and we could just do it.
Well, the chair's opinion on that. I know we've been jerking you guys around. The chair's opinion on that was, you know, we asked, can you just give us a couple new members? The chair's opinion was, well, we wanted you to follow county board rules, so everything would be noticed so the public would know, so there would be minutes. But he doesn't feel that this is an advisory task force, that people meeting and talking about things that will still need to later be voted on anyway, he does not think that that's a problem. So, as I've been saying, I mean...
Is this the chair of the task force or the chair of the county board?
This is Pius.
Okay.
This is the chair of the county board. As I've said, okay. You know, the chair of this task force is, I think, told most everybody here, you know, finally.
Told you what.
So,
I like it.
But yeah, so, I mean, we certainly want to notice these meetings, but we will be having a discussion and voting on anything anyway. The opinion of the chair and clearly the opinion of the state's attorney is, three or four people need to talk about an intro before it comes back here, that's not really a problem. So
it's not clear to me on that. I understand the intro isn't done yet. And I do think one of the pieces of the intro is what we're going to do, that then the following potential recommendations we're setting forth now because we're going to get input from stakeholders and the public. But it's not clear that second section, potential recommendations, it sounds like you're talking about we'll start from scratch. And so tell me about that, because we've got recommendations coming from Mark. We've got ones I've drafted that cover, for example, evaluation. Is the proposal we're going to start from scratch with potential recommendations?
I mean, what I'm saying is that section would draw on what's been proposed, but not take, but not, I mean, the, say the, To take some of the key issues that you've highlighted in your recommendations and say, okay, pretrial services is a key area where we're going to make recommendations, maybe suggest some of what those might be, I'm thinking of something that's like, you know, three or four lines or something.
Here's what I didn't understand. So if right now we were going to put out, and it was asked to put the coordinating council up front, so right now there's potential recommendation to have that coordinating council. Then there's a lot of what I call sub-recommendations, like who would be on it, three representatives of the public, local government officials, etc. I had, I guess in an effort to try to get this job done, said let's put all that stuff in the background notes.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Then we don't have to rewrite anything, except if we want to tinker with this language. Somebody says, I don't like the way this recommendation is phrased. So what I'm trying to do is figure out what you're talking about, because we've got language for potential recommendations. Then we got the background notes, and then Mark's gotten his written in a way that is background notes. So maybe we'll tinker the way the recommendation is, but I would like to tinker with that part here so we can get it done. Because we could go forever with emails.
But see, my problem is that, being realistic, if we give the county board 30, 40, 50 pages of background notes, I think we can probably count on one hand, maybe on one finger, how many people are actually going to read that. So that's why I'm saying that we need a second section, which basically kind of summarizes what we've put into those documents, so that people will read it, because they're not going to read all those background notes, especially when they're glommed together in different forms and different formats. They're just not going to read it. The point is, if we can get a sort of a two-page summary of what we've done and a two-page summary of the kind of recommendations that we have, we've got a four or five-page document that's sharp to the point, and people will read it. But if we give them a 55-page document and we expect them to be able to read all that, it's just not going to happen. I mean, we have two county board members here. Maybe you can correct me if I'm mischaracterizing how the zeal with which county board members will approach reading
document. Trying to do a preliminary report, like it sounds like we're talking, I think that's a good idea, both for the discipline, that it will put on us to boil down our ideas into their simplest current forms, and the fact that, if we do 200 pages, people are going to start to lose some people. As we've seen, the judiciary is currently deferring to the county board until they take a look at this. And so our current, when we can get as much as we want out of the community, but for the 13th, our current primary audience is keeping the attention of the county board members and having a report that we can basically use to summarize what we've done and steer the discussion where we want going forward with ILPP. So I think that's probably a good idea, to have a few pages for introduction, what we've done, the current state of the justice system, as James was saying, on the recommendations, and then put it in the back, whatever we feel people need.
That's what I'm agreeing.
Okay,
in other words, intro, short, tight intro, potential recommendations. I do think we need the recommendations on priority task for the consultant.
Oh, absolutely.
And then whether it's an appendix, we call it background notes, but we include that because those details are going to be important. And I want to get on record right now how important I think it is to share some of these details to the public. If I don't think it's directive, I actually think it's empowering to share with the public, here are some ideas, how can you improve them, and what additional ideas do you have? Because some of the ideas here, criminal justice officials haven't embraced, and some of them didn't even, and let's not even talk about this community, don't know what pretrial services are. So I don't think the public would, but if they hear this, and it'll be helpful for them to say, man, that's a great idea. And I think they'll think, and if we don't really explain what pretrial services is, and it's not a very extensive discussion, it's less than a page. Bail reform is covered. I heard Carol mention that. With all that in background, I see a document 5 pages tops as being what this will culminate in. Background.
You know, I listened to the, I attended the webinar.
The pre-trial?
Yeah. And I don't know if anybody else did, but I can tell you that they spent, it was a two-hour thing. And they made a presentation about how to get the public behind what pretrial services. And it was a really good presentation. And it was, but it took 2 hours. And it was not very technically stated. They presented data, but they presented it in a kind of simplified form. And their emphasis was on communicating. So I probably have now their slides that they use for the presentation. I think they emailed them to me. I think what I'm saying is that from listening to that, what I learned is that each thing, if it wants to be taken seriously, requires translation into everyday language, and then a kind of methodology in which people have an opportunity to think about it. So I don't think we can put together, we're not ready to put together for sure, a report that would sell everything. So, and I think what we're going to have to do is actually come back to each thing and talk about, I think we could spend, we could have a task force that did nothing but free trial services and talked about that and what kind of agreements you need in the system and what is it, these guys have data on what it, for example, they're convinced from surveying data that most people imagine that what bail is the reform that they want to introduce. Most people, where am I coming from this? I'm saying that in order to sell it, we need to offer it in digestible pieces. So I don't want to overwhelm anybody. And I think in some ways, half the time I can find myself, can I say something? Anything I say now will be on the record, right? So I'll be careful about saying this. Many of the things that were presented by the people who came to talk to us, I'm not indicting anybody in particular about it, but some of the times I found myself unable to keep paying attention. And I think a lot of them are presented in ways that are not particularly helpful for dialoguing. And I don't want to fall into that. So I want to make sure that what we do is simple, straightforward, that the ideas are cogent, and that we enable people to have a discussion about them. And one way to end discussion is to overwhelm people with paper. I mean, it's a terrific it's often a bureaucratic solution to get people to shut up, is to overwhelm them with paper, that they have to somehow feel that, I didn't read it, or they couldn't follow it, so it turns people off. So there's some sort of fine line between overwhelming people and giving people information, which I think requires us to work at. I don't think it can just be assumed. So that's, again, all I'm doing is talking about processing here, and I'm not talking about the substance of anything.
So we need a Twitter account for the task force.
Maybe.
Say two things. One is, since you're concerned about this resonating with the county board and the public, I don't hear you talking about any visuals that you might use to make some of these things a little bit more understandable. And then the second, the slides that Julian got from that program, are they public domain slides?
I don't know the answer to that.
If they are public
domain. Well, we have the presentation, so it is now. Both the PDF and the PowerPoint would be great things for people to look at. Because as Julian was saying, the reason that the National Association of Counties retained the Melman Group, which is one of the top political pollsters in the country to pull on this issue, is clearly because this is a nationwide issue, pretrial services. And as Julian was saying, when the public hears about using evidence-based, risk-based practices instead of cash bail, they also found it to be very popular. Now, the National Association of Counties is also a nonpartisan group, so this was not, say, this was not a liberal advocacy group leading this either. This was, and they had several elected officials, including one in rural Colorado, talking about using this. And so a lot of these things could be very relevant for our presentation, and the National Association of Counties might have some other shortcuts that we can use if we're trying to put together a PowerPoint for the county board when we go over this. It is not required, but it is fairly typical to have a PowerPoint when you're going through this, and that's something we might want to talk about too when we do this with the county board.
Can you get that put up on your part of the website?
For the task force? Why don't we do that, and since there's links, we can also make sure to send this out to board members too.
Okay.
Board members would have got the notice, but I don't know who was.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great idea, is to get it. I think anybody who would be willing, anybody who's interested in pretrial services in this county, who wants to know about what it, who wants to know about it, would benefit from what having this presentation, going through that. So you have it also then.
Yes.
Yeah, great.
That was also
great.
They both have it up on their website, and they did send links. So there is a PDF permalink that we can both download and put the link up.
And I heard you say that before, and I like that idea. I personally just didn't feel, because as you see, we haven't agreed on the language of the recommendations. We've got to get this done. But I think that's a very important piece of it. And ideally, with the consultant, we'll be able to literally, okay, there's this arrow here right now with the current population of 120. There's going over here, can go up here with the bail reform or whatever. This, you know, more electronic supervision, add some numbers to it potentially. So I hear you. I think that's an excellent suggestion personally. So.
Okay.
Can you put this document up in such a space that once you all have a document that you have some comfort level with, that it could become an interactive document for the general public?
What do you mean by interactive? Just post it online?
Well, where people could read it and not go in and change words on it, but go in and read it and give some commentary to it.
You mean like a blog?
Yeah,
just nice
blogger,
people.
Yes.
Then,
Once we decide to officially disseminate this potentially with background papers, get it out there. That's a mechanism to get feedback from the public. I personally feel we need to get the document done, and then we figure out how to disseminate it.
I'm not jumping ahead of you coalescing whatever you decide to coalesce. I was just thinking again what you were talking about for the public and seeing if there's some mechanisms that begin that process.
Well, and one of the mechanisms we should be looking at is when ILPP starts to do its public hearings, making sure that we have our preliminary report at all of these.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they're working with us on doing that, but of course, at any time in the future, if we want to have our own public hearings, as long as it's noticed, we don't have to meet at Brookings. We can go out into the community if we feel like there's a need. I hope we can work with ILPP on that and stimulate that discussion.
Yeah, that's great.
So it sounds like we have consensus on the shell of what we want for the 13th. Does anybody else have any other comments? Anybody want to volunteer to take the hit and organize one of the sections?
Well, let me ask you this. For the second section, the potential recommendations, are they here, or are we starting from scratch again? Because if they're here, then we just need to get comments on them, and if not, then it's a question who's going to write them. I've got potential recommendations covering, I thought thought everything, Mark's part, I got something on your part. Now, James, you might have totally, you know, again, I thought you might come up with specific language that was different, but you've got a separate report. So I don't
know. Do we want to use those recommendations? Do we want to use some of those recommendations? Do we want to start from scratch?
No, I think we need to summarize. We have. I mean, the recommendations, if we want to call them that.
So what's in boldface? That's all I'm talking about. Not the light stuff. This is background noise.
No, I think those are still, I'm sorry, but I think those are still too long and complicated. And I think there's, the other thing with those recommendations, I mean, I have no problem with the areas, but most of those recommendations that you have there are, say, that the council will ensure that blah, blah, blah. Well, I mean, I think that's really kind of jumping ahead because we don't have a council. We don't know what mechanism it would have to ensure that, or even if it would be able to ensure that. So, I mean, I think the areas that you're focusing on in the boldface recommendations should be in the second section of the report. But I don't think it would work to just cut and paste those into that section.
And if we use those, we probably should decouple the following recommendations from the council. Because one, we don't want people thinking, I don't like the council, I don't like any of this. And the other is, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not sure of any mechanism by which the council would be anything other than advisory and could ensure these things. I would think that it would take something at the state level to have a coordinating council that could ensure the county board would fund something or make the judiciary do something, even though we will want the judiciary and the county board and the state's attorney on there, but also the coordinated council certainly, unless I'm missing something, would not have a mechanism to say, if we're talking about anything with the state's attorney's office, charging, can always make a recommendation to the state's attorney's office, but I don't know how it could actually make them ensure it.
And Lynn can talk about how it is broader. I know in McLean County they had one, and it actually worked fairly well for keeping jail population down. What it was basically a way to get in a room, these people that probably correspond by email 100 times a day, the sheriff, the public defender, the state's attorney, head of court services. And what it is a daily or weekly time to sit down and say, all right, here's the jail population, here's these issues. But in terms of like policy and things like that, I guess that would be, you could probably put it, the county board could decide really what they want them to be able to do. But
so I think a couple tweaks on the language with that would.
Potential recommendation, instead of saying the blah, 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 council should ensure that, you could just read a pretrial, and remember, this is potential. It doesn't mean we're saying it.
Yeah.
But a pretrial services program should be promptly established in Champaign County.
Yes, I think that would be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think just changing it to that.
That's the level of statement that would
all right.
be not.
Well, then we can.
Yeah.
Here's what I ask. I don't think this will be long, but take long. Why don't we? That was a helpful suggestion. And so, that's all right. So that would be recommendation two. Is that should be promptly established to perform the screening and supervision functions needed to avoid, except in narrowly defined instances, incarcerating people not convicted of a crime.
And Scott, they don't already have something akin to this that they're already doing.
Not to my knowledge. I mean, I think you would be surprised at how often throughout the day emails are exchanged between the sheriff, the public defender, the state's attorney on literally day by day sends it. In fact, they'll say, what about this person? Can you, does this person need to be in custody? For example, for a case where it's someone at a low-level felony or something like that and they've been in for 2 weeks or whatever it is, and we'll get an email then from Julia or from, and I'm sure the PDs did the same thing from Randy Rosenbaum, saying, hey, kid, did you make an offer? Why isn't your person considering this offer? Things like that. So it really, I think normally when they create these CJCCs, it's when that isn't happening. And now I don't know that it wouldn't, creating this commission, maybe what they could do here is just not meet as frequently. They don't need to meet every week, but it would be nice to have some kind of, and perhaps I'd like to hear what Judge Ford has to say about this, because a judge has to be, usually the presiding judge is also present there, but to kind of see how they want to do it. No, to answer your question, I don't think there is a formalized CJCC.
If that's, so my impression from listening was that there's the impression that people do what you're saying, but it's informal.
Yes.
When I was listening to this presentation, by the end, I asked, there was an opportunity for questions, and I submitted a couple of questions like, well, what, you've told us how to communicate the need for doing it, but what exactly is it that's done? And so they gave some references. They say they're, and I believe they're in their material, references to formal systems for doing it. And it won't be anything surprising. You know, what do you consider? And it's, you know, it's a checklist kind of thing that people go through and they consider it. And but the suggestion, let me get this to see if we were, if I'm understanding it the same way you would be.
Sure.
The suggestion seems to me to be that this would be formalized, that there would actually be, so automatically for anybody who came in, there would be this system, and that would be, so people wouldn't necessarily, in some ways it would be more efficient, people wouldn't necessarily have to do what you're saying, but it would also be more regularized. And
get it, well, you'd get input from everybody as opposed to maybe on an email, there would only be two different voices, and it could be any two, it could be the PD and the sheriff, it could be...
Well, you're doing a risk assessment. Yeah. Instrument too, yeah. So it's
that's
so
essentially it's what these are. So a risk assessment
could be more proactive,
and it also provides a protection. Right now, if it's a group of people saying, "Well, do you think we can do this?" If you've got the pretrial service officer say, "Look, we've applied the test. This is a good risk. If that person goes out and does commit a robbery, there is some protection, you know, because it will not remove all risk." So I do think in the screening function there is a value here, and it does relieve. And all these people who have better uses of their
sure.
time.
My impression is that the judge has to agree to these things, right?
Well, yes and no. So, for example, on bond, yes. Although what we'll typically have, say it's a person who doesn't want to plead guilty but isn't a flight risk and isn't a dangerous community. So what will often happen then is if it's brought to someone's attention and it goes before the public defender, for example, they'll file a motion to reduce bond. If we don't oppose it, it's usually granted, unless the judge has really some reason to think that, you know, and if there's such a reason, we're going to oppose it. So, yeah, I mean, the judge usually, it's important that the courts and the judges are heard on the bigger issues, but on the case-by-case basis, it's usually between the state's attorney and either the defense attorney or the...
I guess what I'm asking is if there's a... a formal system that's a formal risk assessment mm-hmm. is proposed.
Yeah. There's what you need the judges on board.
The judge needs to agree to that
absolutely.
System, right?
And let me say this. I mean, I brought the pretrial service guy from McLean County because I loved how it worked there. One thing that I have been surprised at is the difference between our county and McLean counties in the sense that we already do what a lot of pretrials, and so I understand the resistance that especially court services had to say, why do you need this? We already have it. There are certain things we do a lot better than McLean County did. That being said, so I don't know if we need the entire pretrial services, but I do like the idea of one extra person giving background, giving some objective information for the judge, mm-hmm. some of the judge would trust to say, because it is true. I disagree with some of the things that have been said about public defenders since we've been here, but I will say one big thing is, for example, an arraignment court. McLean County doesn't even have a public defender in arraignment court. You just come in and the judge sets the bond and sets it for arraignment a couple weeks after that. That's not great. And McLean, at least here, every day you go to court, some public defender will go to the jail and will go and meet with every person who's going to be in for the judge. They get a report. Now, it may only be... it's very, very brief. I mean, it isn't a lot. You probably only have a couple minutes with them. They have a job, they have kids, they have these things. So, but at least there's someone giving the judge that side of it. The difference is what pretrial services would be able to do is actually do some research behind that. It, not just take their word for it, which I don't necessarily think the judge buys, but well, they have local ties. Well, the judge, you know, that's just from the guy saying it because he wants to get out. But if, you know, pretrial services will go back to their office and say, we called it, he's been had this lease for this long, mm-hmm. and they'll prepare even a one-page report, it's something for the judge I can trust this a little bit more.
I think, it seems to me that, I imagine that, well, in some way what it does is reduce discretion. I know it doesn't actually eliminate all discretion, but
sure.
it does reduce discretion, which is... I guess what I'm after is it can also reduce the perception of arbitrariness, because everybody's being, the same system is being applied. There's a risk assessment that's done, and it's a well-developed one, and there's research on it, and we're going to apply it to everybody.
Yeah.
It's not whether or not they like me or don't like me. This is what gets done. And in some ways, it's just, it reduces the perception of arbitrariness.
Could we get back to kind of doling out tasks here?
That was good. That was more on time. Sorry.
Thank you.
I would volunteer to write the introductory pages, if that's all right, unless somebody else wants to.
You do that, then let me look at it and give another perspective
sure.
on it, and I'll be happy to do it right away whenever you give it to me.
Okay. And I think.
And, you know, either add or subtract or agree or disagree or whatever. You'll get a little bit.
To everybody, right? If people want to comment, they can. If they don't, they don't have to.
I don't know if anyone agrees with this, and tell me if you don't. But one thing that I have really enjoyed, because I thought I did defense work here, I was a prosecutor in McLean County before I came here. I thought I knew how the system worked, and there's a lot of things I was surprised at. For example, the kind of, to me, what is a myth of the jail overcrowding. And then we go to the tours of the jail and see there's entire wings that are not being used. And so it's not a matter of jail overcrowding. And I think the sheriff said it in a really concise way, which was, it's not that we don't have enough space, it's that we don't have the proper space, the right kind of space. So what I would like to see, if it's in the intro or maybe even a 1A or 1B section, is what's the current state of where we are with the, and this could be with the jail numbers and the setup, because I think, I don't think anyone, at least from my conversations with board members, when we took the two tours, the things that we can all, I think that most people came away with was, one, it is, you know, to say that we, just to leave the downtown jail in the current state it is in, it's inhumane. So the alternatives are, well, what do we do? If we shut it down, what do we do with the people? And as we recall, it's women, and it's people who have specific mental health needs that cannot be in general population, and it's also largely suicide watch is also been kept there. So what do you do with those people if we shut down the downtown jail? There isn't enough pod space in the current jail, in the satellite jail, which is, I guess, over there, to put a whole pod for women. Women cannot be with men in jails. And so that's the question, do you build a new jail? I don't necessarily think that is a correct recitation of what's being requested here. I think what's being asked is, can we add another pod on that would reflect the uses which most of us agree they need to have, in that there needs to be, it absolutely is inhumane to send someone who has mental health issues in a general population. But is there a space we can provide which does allow for all these things that in the last 20 years that we've learned about putting people with mental illnesses into the jail system? What can we do for that? What can we do to possibly close the downtown jail? And there are all these things we talked about. CJCC, pretrial services, it helps keep the numbers down, but we will never get to a point where we get the numbers so far down that we have one pod for men and one pod for women. It's just not going to happen. So is there any part in the report where we can at least address the realities of what we're talking about here? I mean, what I have been very frustrated in this process is the same mischaracterizations being thrown out, which is, we don't need a new jail. Well, all of us agree we don't need to build a whole new jail. But what do we do with the current numbers and the current spaces that we're looking at? And I would like to see somehow in the report address, you know, since the days of the tours, no one has said a word about jail. To me, at least, no one has talked about the downtown jail. Is a disgusting, dilapidated, I mean, but nobody wants anybody kept there that they care about. And it's unsafe for everybody. And at the same time, there really is no jail overcrowded. We can go over this and over this and over this, and we should, for taxpayers and for other things, to keep our numbers down. But what are we going to do to try to keep, to try to address the realities of the numbers that we've been looking at?
So one of the things that this, I mean, you're suggesting that this should be now put somewhere in this report.
Even if it's not the entire, I'm not saying the whole report has to be this way, but shouldn't it somewhere in the origins or the intro be the reality of what we're looking at, the real numbers?
One of the things I'm just going to, so that everybody has the same information I have. I went to this meeting of the four sergeants from each of the four police forces were there, and it was a community meeting. And there's also a follow-up. There's another meeting that's happening. If anybody who wants to go can go. It's intended to be. It's done at Urbana, inviting the providers to come and talk with police about what happens when they have to encounter a person in a serious emotional difficulty. So there are specific officers who are trained to do this. And from my conversations with those officers, I would say that they're pretty good. And their biggest frustration is exactly the one you're talking about. Their biggest frustration is, so now they know what to do, and they bring a person to a mental health facility, and then the person's back out in 3 hours, and then they do it again, and then they're in the middle of the street throwing things, and then they have nothing to do with them, so they have to take them to jail. And the jail is the jail you were just talking about.
Yes.
So to have a place that was a secure mental health facility, to me, is a very different way to talk about dealing with our jail needs than to just have a general notion that we need more jail, right? So I think we could reach some consensus about that maybe here. I'm not sure, but... So the idea of if we're going to build something or add something, we should add something that is appropriate to the problem,
right.
Not something that's general space.
Agreed. No, absolutely. That's what.
So that they could be separated. They could be not simply blended in with the general population.
One place in what I have proposed, just because I hadn't heard that anybody else was going to write this section, so just to give us foundation, the priority task for the consultant. It right now does, the very first sentence, task force recognizes that ILLP and that's the length of expertise, the resolution of the question of what needs to be done to redress what were termed in a technical assistance report funded by the National Institute of Corrections, the quote, deplorable conditions within the downtown jail. And then later on when we identify priority tasks, if you think these are priority tasks, one of them is identifying the most cost-effective steps that can be taken to redress in the short term and the long term the physical plant problems at the downtown jail and any deficiencies in programming space at the satellite jail. So addressing, you know, no matter what, there are deficiencies. So that was identified, but we aren't resolving it because that wasn't really within our province. But it was highlighted as a priority task.
I would, and I think that that's important because I think that has to be part of a recommendation. But I would also like to see somewhere in the interim, not just the people we brought in, but here are the jails, here are the populations, and here are what they can hold, and here's what is not being. I don't want to weigh in on one side or the other. If all parties agree, and I think most parties agree, there is really, other than keeping them in their own cell, there is no special care for mental health, you know, for those issues. So I would like to see, even if it's only a couple paragraphs, I don't think, and I'm just saying, I have visited in both jails clients in the little rooms in the front, but until you go down the bowels of them, I don't think you really realize how bad things can be. So I would guarantee that I would suggest that many county board members would also not be aware of that. So I would like to see at least a little bit of that in the intro or in that aspect of it, so people kind of understand. If you're talking about jail overcrowding, you're not talking about the right issues. I think we all agree the jail's not, well, it's always overcrowded because there's always too many people in jail. We all agree on that, unless it's more than one. But the fact is, it's the space issue. How can we, deal with, whether it's adding additional pods on for this or creating new facilities in some other way? How do we address the needs we're going to have now and in the future?
My recollection is that was the sheriff's opening statement, that he thought that it wasn't a problem of overcrowding. It was a problem of inappropriate space for the needs that they had.
Yeah.
So I don't think that would be controversial.
And I don't think the ministry disagree with that.
I think the whole thing that really started this process off was simply defining the problem as a facilities problem.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we've gone down the course of looking at all the alternatives. I mean, and I think, you know, as somebody who was, you know, trying to block the $20 million jail model from the beginning, I mean, the reason that we were doing that was because these issues such as the mental health were not being addressed through any other means other than building a jail. Now, if we get to, I mean, I think as a task force, if we're talking about, you know, funding community-based, you know, preventative programs and mental health services and so forth, I mean, then maybe we can talk about what kind of mental health services you might need in the jail and so forth. But I mean, I think it was necessary to get the alternatives, you know, on board, so it didn't just relocate all the mental health services, you know, into the jail. And then, you know, as someone who spent 6.5 years locked up, I can assure you that I'm going to say something about the fact that this, you know, that the conditions in that downtown jail are, you know, are part of what sparked the need for this task force. Yeah. Before I went to that jail, I was a little, you know, ambivalent about, you know, what I thought should happen with it. But after I went there, I said, well, it should be closed down. There's a lot worse jails in the state than that one. But, I mean, that doesn't meet the bar for a minimum, you know, facility for where people should be kept. But I think once we get to the consultant's report, I mean, the consultant can give us a better profile of the population in terms of who's in there with what kinds of issues and what kind of facilities, you know, there are there and aren't there. I mean, that, because for example, when I did that one quick snap study of the women's population, I found that there wasn't a single woman in there with a violent crime in that downtown jail, which is kind of hard to believe. But I went through every woman in the jail, if you go on the county sheriff's website, and there wasn't one woman there with that had an assault, anything that involved violence or a weapon, anything like that.
So what were they there for?
Property crimes, probably mostly. I mean,
but a lot of them were there for traffic stuff, and yeah. Some were there for obviously drug related crimes, you know, retail theft with possession of paraphernalia. There was two people there for domestic battery, which is like the very minimum kind of level of sort of, you know, I mean, it's not assault. So,
I had conversations like this with police. I've been talking to policemen. I had conversations like this with police who are saying, when it gets to people who are incarcerated because of serious traffic violations, when they say, well, the guy's been driving without a license and has DUIs, and it's, you know, he's done it 10 times. At some point, what alternative do we have but to put him in jail? Are there alternatives? I'm not sure.
How many people are in there with 10 DUIs?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But I mean, that's
well, let's
we throw
not 10 DUIs, 10 suspend times license. Driving without
but,
a license.
In fact, those examples get glibly thrown out like the guy at the bus station as an example of when that's the exception rather than the rule.
So if
that's the information we need from the consultant.
Well, let me say this. Part of the reason that so many people are in jail for traffic, and this is a frustration I guarantee you prosecutors have too, is there's nothing we can do. This is state law.
Right.
There is a provision that if you have your license suspended for a DUI, and you've three other times had you're stopped driving while your license is suspended, and three other times, and they could have been for insurance reasons, your license was suspended before you got caught driving, you have a mandatory 180 days in jail. You don't get that much time for stabbing someone. Right. But yet for a traffic offense, you've got, and there's nothing like telling someone who's never been jailed for, I have nothing else I can do. You can't get probation. Yeah. You can't get less than 30 days. You're going to do 180 days. And it's same day for day because it's a minimum. So that's nothing that we can be done on this level, but it's a state law. And part of that is because it's tied to DUI, and both the prosecutor and defense attorney have said no one ever lost an election saying, I'm going to get tougher on DUI. So the fact that the DUI was law just becomes longer and longer and longer, even if it really has nothing to do with DUI, it has to do with something that happened 10 years later.
Right.
But so when people say, what are that, these traffic things, it isn't really something that can be dealt with on a county level. It's a state level. Well, it is what it is. But unless you want to lie to the judge about how many priors they have, which nobody wants to do, that's what you get come up with. If I tell the judge he's got at least three, the judge goes, well, it's 180 days.
Well, the reason I wanted to pursue this line of conversation is because I think there's plenty that could be done at the county level about lots of things, and that I hope what we could avoid is complaining about things that we can't control,
sure.
Because I think that's a loser. I mean, we'll end up with some form of what you just said, which is that's the state law. We can't do anything about that.
No one's really good about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we need to focus ourselves on those things that have to do with local policy. Mm-hmm. Now, it may be that some of those people in jail are due to local policy rather than state law. But I would like to, I think if we're going to attack those issues, we ought to attend to what is, what discretion exists at the local level. And that's, I don't know the answer, what that means in terms of
context. Can I ask, because this relates to recommendation, I'm trying to get a better feel for what can be pretty readily deleted, and I have a gut feeling here, but one of the recommendations deals with getting rid of the council language would read a full range of community-based diversion, deferred adjudication, and sentencing options should be available within the county, be properly implemented in accordance with evidence-based practices, and be adequately funded. Now, right now, at the end of it, it also says so that case dispositions and sentences comport with the core principles. We haven't even talked about them. I assume you want to get rid of them. The reality is those are core principles, and I think they're real important. They're down the road. They're things like least drastic alternative requirement. That keeps the cost down, et cetera. But I'm trying to get a feel for, so I'm assuming you want that paradigm.
My suggestion would be that you have a lot of commitment to those things that you're recommending, which are good.
No, I'm just
and I think it would, as a matter of moving it along, the thing to do is
just
abstract those things into, don't just reprint that document. Abstract those things into small recommendations and then circulate that.
But let me ask you one thing. Should I keep the potential recommendation on restorative justice, or do you just want me to toss it out? I can keep it now and we can talk about it in the next meeting.
Let's keep it in and we can always cut it.
Okay. And then I'm going to go with my gut then on the changes, and then I can always put a bracket that explains to you what I took out and why. But most of this, as I see it, it's not going to be hard. I'm going to take out all references to core principles, take out the reference in all the other recommendations to the council, and then it's just we should have pretrial diversion, we should have this integrated programming, et cetera. So, and then I think it will be streamlined like you.
Okay, I mean, I think there's a few other areas that we might, that should be in there as well, that you haven't touched on, so I don't know if you want to, if you're planning to add those or.
Sure, I think the more we get out, I mean, in terms of.
Well, we could all add recommendations.
Or you could just
once those are circulated, we could all add what other recommendations
we
think need to be in there.
3A, because you tell where you think it logically fits. That would work. So I can get this out. I can make the changes readily, get it out tomorrow.
Okay.
I really can't, but I will. And then what? Where would it? And then I'm understanding that the amplification that each person has provided would be in a like background note for recommendation one, et cetera, et cetera. We really haven't talked about what you've got, so we just put that in background note for that, or would we just flesh that out later? How would that work? On the race-based recommendation.
Well, I think it's gonna go with the background notes. I mean, but I think the recommendation should be there. I mean, you have one. I think. I mean, we can discuss what you come up with, and we'll we'll
I grabbed the name because there was a state-based task force with that name. I think it's kind of cumbersome, but there was a state-based.
Right. Task force. But as long as it's it's there, I think we're good. And then but somebody needs to do the third part. Which is writing, which is just kind of bringing this stuff together and kind of making a,
take the whole thing and write a what?
Right. I mean, I don't know, read a half a page or a page saying these are the background notes, blah 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 blah.
I can do that. But
well, can't the introduction refer say what follows of the background notes and then in the appendix or no what follows?
Well, let's see what it looks like.
And then the background
and then
notes,
it needs some editing.
They're in the appendix.
I think it needs some editing and addition. Besides addition, it will need some editing, which I'd be happy to try to do. The one thing that I'm not sure, and maybe Michael, I wasn't sure what you said about this, that you have access to or a list of, all the people that we've interviewed and.
Yeah, I can.
And that can, if that could be coordinated in some form, I think it needs to.
Well, that's going to be in the. I mean, I think that would be in the introduction, or perhaps I would.
I can send that to you guys for an introduction, and also possibly something.
Yeah, just so we have it in one place, if we can make it easier.
Yeah, do that. I mean, I don't know how we'll put it there.
We'll incorporate it wherever it belongs.
Put it
wherever,
and then, Mike, finally, we had talked last meeting about having a section on funding and research shifting. Very short, but starting to plant the seeds about taking some of the money a quarter cent.
Right.
And it wasn't clear to me, because I know you have expertise on it, or you, but right now we don't have anything. So if we have an intro, we have the core recommend, what I call core, you know what I mean, these black letter ones, there's 10 or 11. There will be a couple pages. Are we going to still identify priority tasks for the consultant? Right in the body, not in the background.
I think so.
I personally think so.
Yeah, that's fine.
Then what else is here? There's observations regarding funding. To me, it'd just be a paragraph, maybe two. And then there's potential state-level recommendations just to alert them to the reality that this is going to be on the table and we'll get public feedback from others. I personally feel we still need those on funding. Or you can mention in the intro, but it needs to be mentioned.
I think it should be in the recommendations if people are agreeable to that.
I think one of you two should do. It's just like a paragraph,
for the funding.
Don't you think?
Yeah, we can both talk about the quarter cents. I can go through. I don't know too many other readily available areas that we would pull money from. But, for instance, this needs assessment. The money, this six figures, is coming out of the quarter cent for next year. Now, there's always the general corporate fund. And there's also, I can talk with some of our state and federal officials about at least things to throw in where we might find some state or federal grant money/earmarks for that we can at least put in.
Well, you can also mention just that there's potential resource shifting. You know, right now, most systems are institutional heavy, you know, the big money, and so we have so you can just mention that, just and without too much amplification. But anyway, I just want to make sure if it's going to be there, then in the recommendation section, I will include just so somebody can plug in what they're going to plug in.
Yeah, I mean, basically we want to shift some of that 95% away from construction for law enforcement purposes into a broader definition of public safety.
Are you going to include the recommendations from Mark's report?
That's what I wanted to ask you. The recommendation that bears on what they, because they put in a bunch of recommendations. They're kind of the general recommendation that bears on that, I'm trying to get the number here, I'm sorry. So it would be recommendation number
four. All these, there's a bunch of bullet points here in Mark's report that appear on pages 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Those could exist as recommendations. Mm-hmm. I would put the rest of it wherever the somewhere else place is.
Well, I can, but then that's true with all the other recommendations. There's details on electronic supervision.
Yeah, that's what I'm suggesting, to follow the... In other words, these first three pages here with those bullet points are written at the level that I think we're talking about for recommendations. What follows after that is about existing services and so on, which I don't think has to be... Like it could be appended, that portion of it. So, you know where I'm talking about?
I think it's important.
I think it needs some more general statements about it.
But I think it's important to incorporate, you know, some of their wording and ideas into the recommendations rather than to just use the...
Why don't I just put potential recommendation number X, and then we'll have Mark put the language.
Well, I think these are... I mean, I think basically when we get to mental health... Here, in this draft report, options for consideration in regard to improvements to mental health substance use. This comes, forget A, B, and C up there, right, for the time being. That belongs probably in, that's the same as the introduction. But these, they're literally marked by these dots, right? And each one of them is a briefly stated idea about things that could be done, not how to do them.
Okay, well, let me just tell you this. We're back now to where we were before. Those, to me, are all important recommendations. those fall under the general category of getting more programming for substance abuse, mental health, and reentry, integrating it, ensuring it's adequately funded, etc. Now, if we put those details there, but we don't have similar details for community sanctions, it's going to look like we're saying it all needs to be done with services.
Oh, I didn't see these as details. Okay.
Well,
that's all right.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think
so
that's right.
That's fine. Just refer to them. Okay. Just put it in an appendix and refer to it.
But I love these.
I want to do is separate that from, I want to separate this section. I want this to exist.
It's a background.
By itself,
it's a background
though.
Paper for recommendation
not the whole thing.
Number blank.
Or let's separate this into, I'm suggesting we separate this into two parts.
I think Mark should do his own background paper. In other words, background paper to accompany recommendation blank. He should do it, we can tinker with it.
Well, I'm tinkering with it now. He did it. And I'm now tinkering with it.
But this is the background paper, right?
Well, I think the whole thing is going to look. The whole thing is going to be a background paper, and we're going to go with a kind of overview recommendation there.
Okay.
I mean, unless you want to sort of talk to Mark and say, well, why don't we?
I just think we should separate this into two background papers.
Okay. Right. No
because there's, it's so simple. I mean, I'm not changing a thing.
But now you're taking on board the task of kind of. Compiling.
Yeah, so I'm trying out what I have in mind here.
Oh, so you're saying don't put this stuff at the bottom. That talks
on page
about
3, it says exist. It's just all that existing
that
stuff.
That should not be.
That could be here.
Oh, the existing. No.
That should
but
not
it,
be the background.
It shouldn't be in the body of the report.
Right.
That's really all.
It
right.
shouldn't existing. Be in the background
I thought you
were for the X. Yeah. I totally agree.
Okay.
Fine. Yeah.
We're running
out. Oh, you.
Got it.
Okay. We clearly need to continue this via. Other means. Is there anything else tonight? It sounds like we have tasks. We know where we want to start to go. We'll continue the dialogue on that, and of course, loop everybody back in. Hopefully, you get a positive feedback.
I think we're in good shape.
Feedback loop going on that. So I think we're done with that section. I think that we pretty much covered the discussion on next steps. Under other business. I would, assuming people agree that the task force should continue, I'd entertain a motion to continue the, ask the county board to continue the task force.
So moved.
Second.
We've got Branham and Kilgore. I think we've pretty much covered that too. We, obviously, we're a creation of the county board. We're at the mercy of the next board. As Carol said, we have not heard anyone saying they want to kill it. But this board wants to leave it to the next board, and so any county board members I'm in. So I don't know if there's any other comments. I think it's fairly cut and dry. Obviously, let me know, and maybe now's a good time if you want to continue. We've already had a couple people who say they can't, but let's have a vote and let the county board know that we believe that we have a lot of work that we need to continue doing. Julian?
Oh yeah. I was just going to say that we probably will need to add some people. Is that what you do? You think so?
Well, we have at least two who are definitely not going to be back. If we're going to stay at 9, or if we're going to increase that, then we would need.
Who else besides Sheila?
Sheila and Benita have both said that they are not going to be able to continue. Does everybody here would like
Mark.
To? I'm not sure. I don't. Mark has not said he's definitely leaving. There may be others.
We definitely need to have
somebody.
Well,
that's our mental health delegation, and so we clearly, with Sheila leaving, we need. She was not just here for community elements. She was here specifically on behalf of the National Association for the Mentally Ill, and so we clearly need to work with NAMI and other resources in town and rebuild that contingent and see what else we need. Think about if there's anybody we left off the last time. We've had the comments that the panel could be more diverse. And the county board can consider if there's more, if we need more than 9. But yeah, we're to just stay at 9, we're going to need at least a couple new people. And two of them are from a certain segment of the community.
I don't necessarily think it's bad to... certainly to add a couple more voices would be good. What I would just add my 2 cents on is this board is our, or this committee has already gone through all of the last four or five months of, we have this block of knowledge, and if you add another seven or eight people on,
no, that won't be good.
You know, it just, you're starting all over. So I think it's a situation where if there's certain voices that aren't being heard here in certain communities, that'd be nice to kind of add, I think, frankly. But I think I would hate to see it get much more than nine, because I just think you get so, when you're almost getting bigger than the county board at that point. There's going to be 22, you know, on the county board. So to me, I would like to, and plus then you're going to have, you know, I said the majority of the people on that committee then would not have been in the same stuff we've been in so far. So I would hopefully I'd keep it small.
Well, and when we had the discussion about whether to have a agenda item to add more people to get around the Open Meetings Act, the consensus was it's not useful to add people who don't know what's going on. Just go to Starbucks. So, so it's quite possible. We can probably find one or two people to replace the people on who are already working with these issues, as we try to have all of you already working with these issues. But it certainly seems like the consensus of the county board is certainly not to put on nine people who don't have the institutional knowledge that's already been built up here and disrupt where we're already going.
But they will come on board after our preliminary
report. That is absolutely correct.
Okay, good.
Sheila and Benita are both staying through the report and will be full members of the board through then. They just, neither one is going to be able to continue, say, for the next 6 months after that. But certainly through November 13th, no one's leaving.
Can we leave this room with an understanding of the timetable and process for finishing this up? And again, what I will do is get that second piece out. And remember, all this is draft, but the draft recommendation section, with the exception of the funding part. But I, where they're blanks, I'll just leave it. Can we talk about by this, when you want, by tomorrow, I will get that out.
By this, do you mean the preliminary report?
Yes. So what's the process? Because we have different sections, and then we're going to, we'll try to circulate written comments, but I assume we need one. But I have to say, we will move a lot more quickly if we distribute feedback in writing, because it could be a 10-hour meeting. I mean,
we didn't even walk through each of the
recommendations just to get specific comments. Yeah. We never got to two of them.
So I think what we should do is send the stuff out, get the feedback, make the changes, and then bring that reworked document
final
to it further for further
so
discussion. Yeah.
Can you guide us what you would like for the all the pieces? I'll get my piece out tomorrow, draft piece.
But can we vote on continuing and then move on to this section? We'd be more germane under 10 for the next meeting date anyway. Unless there's other discussion, all in favor of telling the county board that we think we have more work to do and that we would like to continue the task force.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? There was a motion.
There was? Okay.
You might have made it.
Short-term memory loss, sorry.
It's okay. So now we are on 10, about the next meeting date. I think we definitely need at least one more in-person meeting. We have until the 13th if we want more. Do we think the 29th is a good time for that?
I can't do that.
Should we push it further off?
I think we want to have time, and this depends on whoever's the primary author of the introduction, time for that to get done, feedback to that, feedback on your section. So it really depends on how long it's going to take you to do your section and how long to do the intro.
What I'd like to do is try to I mean, everybody should give feedback. I'd like to do is try to look at the whole thing in an integrated way and just try to smooth it out, if you know what I mean, so that it's not written by six different people, so that it looks like it's one document.
Yeah.
So that, and that's sort of an editorial function, which I would like to do.
So I'm sending out the recommendation section tomorrow. And then as far as timetable, it depends how long for people to get both sections and get some feedback, and then we have a meeting.
Well, I mean, I could probably get this thing done, say, like by Thursday.
The 1st?
So we'll do it.
Hmm? November 1st?
No, I'm talking about the 25th.
Oh, okay. 2 days.
Yeah.
I forget what day it was.
Well, here's what has to happen.
Sure.
After these pieces, including Michael's list of everybody we saw and your introduction and recommendations.
Here or here, right? So it's either the 5th and has to be done.
Well, at some point, it needs to get put together smoothly. So we need, once then everybody's gotten feedback, we then need a little bit of time to organize it. So a few days, you know, a day at least. So I think, you know, what's next week? Next week is 29. Too soon.
What about?
What's the following Monday?
The 5th. I have a trial that'll be those 2 days. What about, I know I don't want to change the days, but Thursday the 8th, would that work for anybody?
That's right.
There is,
I get home at 11.
We have a county board meeting Thursday night as well because it can't be on the 6th.
Yeah.
I can meet Monday, Wednesday, the 7th. Friday, Saturday, huh?
Wednesday the 7th?
Yeah, I'm going Wednesday and Thursday, St. Louis. I am sorry.
Wednesday and Thursday every week?
Wednesday and Thursday.
Tuesday the 6th?
I can't do that. Not today.
County.
It'll be a busy day here.
No. Yeah, these facilities are not available on the 6th.
So what's the following Monday, the 12th?
Well, that's like
better. The Monday the 12th is
day before the meeting. That's too late.
It's too late.
I mean, it has to be submitted to the board.
Oh, the board meeting is on the 13th.
What about the 1st? Thursday the 1st. I mean, it's not that much time, but we're kind of out of days.
Thursday, I'm gone. I'm sorry, but again, you can always meet without me. And the 30th, even the 30th would give us another day. Is a Tuesday? Would Tuesday the 30th? We just want to. If you're thinking about Thursday,
it's not.
No.
Tuesday the
30th doesn't work? Tuesday the 30th, as far as
that at least gives us another day. Yeah. So that gives people Friday, Monday, and Tuesday during the day to be, and hopefully turn around the feedback pretty quickly.
See, I'm actually thinking that it might make more sense to circulate the pieces, get feedback on them, come here on the 30th and talk about what we have, and then give it to you to kind of stitch it together between after the 30th. Because I don't think we're going to get a whole
circulation. I won't be here on the 30th.
You won't be here on the 30th. Can everyone else make it the 30th?
What day of the week is it? Tuesday? What day of the week is it?
Tuesday the
30th. I can't do the 29th.
I disagree to do a court thing on the 29th.
Well, actually, no, I can't
do the 30th. Well, Tuesday is.
So what, is there something wrong with the 30th? Oh, you can't come.
I just want to make sure there's a quorum if I'm not here. I mean, I can do everything over email. But
the other four that are here can come.
We need
one. We
can
check with the others.
What's the time to start?
What are we planning on doing at that meeting?
That's a good question.
See, quite frankly, I was hoping we'd get the drafts out. We'd all...
I think we could do this.
In light of feedback, I usually make changes in light of feedback, and then we bring it and we finally approve it. I mean, that's what I was hoping, but that's a lot to do in a week.
Well, I don't think that that's going to happen between Thursday and Monday to get everyone to read it and give feedback, or do we just say that if you don't give feedback by that time, then you're out of the loop? I mean, I don't know if we want to. It's not a very, from Thursday to Monday is not much time. I don't know. But then if we're saying that we're going to have Julian do an overall edit, I mean, that's definitely not enough time to get that in there as well.
I get feedback on the intro, I'm going to give feedback that I'm hoping would be the final version.
Oh, it's just, you know? It's just,
right, but I mean, I can't do this by tomorrow. I mean, yours is a little bit simpler task than mine.
It's just that when it's written by different people, will read very awkwardly unless somebody kind of puts it together and changes some words or moves some things around and without violating what we've already agreed on as the content.
Well, wait, the background notes we don't have to mess with because we can say background notes submitted by task force member in support of recommendations. So even though Mark had a different
style of mind, I don't think it's a big deal once it's down on paper.
I think it will be consistent.
First 2 sec,
though. It'll just be the funding section and intro. Are they written pretty consistently? I don't know. There's nothing really...
So do we think we can or want to do the 30th?
All right, let's...
So when you're writing when you're putting together the recommendations...
It's just the black letter.
Are you planning on taking Mark's...
I should get one more people.
The part that I was referring to and putting it in there or putting it in the back? Okay, but we'll separate. I think we'll separate. When I edit
and take,
it.
But take out what you said.
I want to separate. I just want to separate them into two.
I mean, the thing is, in actual fact, if you're writing recommendations and I'm writing a report, I don't think the style is a big deal.
Because
recommendations are naturally going to be in a different
The only thing that's written language. Is the priority task for the consultant, the funding, and the intro. And I think...
Yes. Well, there may be, and there may be things that we've talked about an awful lot of things. So when you write the recommendations, there may be some things that are not there that somebody wants to add in. So everybody needs opportunity to.
No, but we give feedback. We give feedback to her on
that. That's why I want to get out.
And then we come and talk. Yeah.
I want to get out.
So let's just do that.
And we BCC. So like if you send out an intro and we do it, but BCC so everybody sees.
Right.
I think we should send all comments to everybody.
BCC. Yeah. Okay. So we're on for Tuesday then.
October 30th.
Oh. Okay. Tuesday the 30th at 6 p.m., right?
Yeah.
Tuesday the 30th at 6 p.m. Then.
Michael, can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. Who's doing the funding section?
The final question. For the county board meeting, do you want as many of the task force members there as possible?
Absolutely.
What day of the week is that?
It's going to be a Tuesday.
Tuesday
okay.
the 13th.
It'll be Tuesday the 13th.
And we can talk about, on the 30th, we can talk about how we're going to, what the presentation will look like. And putting the,
but we're going to hope,
doing the animated
we're going to hope there's questions, so the more people there with varying
the
areas of expertise, the better we can answer that.
Absolutely. Okay. Wonderful.
Is this somebody's stuff?
You guys meet pretty much everybody.
I think we had copies for nine.
They were going.
Yeah. All right, everybody.
Good night.
Bye bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
And it will look right because everything's preliminary and background paper.
Yeah, I think
we'll get the ideas out there that.